Just walking up now to the Scandi Kitchen here in Soho in London. And the reason is because I'm going to try and find some of these cheesy Watsits we keep getting told about that Swedish people eat during Melody Festival and as a little snack. I've heard it's quite a Swedish thing.
Can I get the next one here?
Hey, could I just get the Scandi hot dog, please?
I am in the crisp section. We've got Sorland's chips, we've got Jord Nuts Ringar, whatever that is. What else have we got? We've got a bit of... plenty of crisps, actually. And do we have... yes, we do. We do have the cheesy Watsits. It's cheese doodles. Amazing stuff. Well, there we go.
I'm sorry, can I just get these cheese doodles?
Have them before.
No.
I'm going to go for
you, are they good? Okay. Are they like Watsits or?
Yes, but better.
Oh, right, okay. Watsits but better. Okay, I look forward to it. All right, thanks.
Cheese doodles, the cheesiest snack original. There we go. I think I've got them.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
Aha, you've got them there, have you?
I have indeed. Cheese doodles! They're here!
They're just Watsits, aren't they? They're just Watsits.
I have never tasted these. They are not open. I'm going to try them now. This is a live tasting, everybody, of a cheese doodle.
I'm so excited.
Here we go. I'm opening up the bag here. I'll say this, they're a lot thinner than a Watsit. A bit more curvy, a bit thinner. Look at this big bag I've got. Here we go. I'm going to taste one now. Ooh, they're very tangy. Ooh, they're a bit sharper, a bit cheesier than your average Watsit. Very little thin things, aren't they?
They are quite thin, yeah.
Like little prawns.
They are like little prawns, yeah. I was thinking about what they might be. They are like little prawns, little cheesy prawns.
Oh, they're lovely. They're great. I love them.
Okay.
I'm going to eat the whole bag.
Well, on that note, welcome to this edition of Nullpois. It's the Eurovision Fan Podcast with me, Martin, and old prawn cheese, Laura Kress.
Woo-hoo!
Over there. We don't know everything about Eurovision, but we're learning, and there's lots and lots of news to bring you a little later on in the podcast, because so many countries have revealed what songs they are going to be sending to the Eurovision Song Contest in Liverpool. Also flop that Eurobop and so much more, all on the way.
We're well underway with a Melody Festivalen, Sweden's national final. So we thought it's best to get on a really well-known Swedish guy in the Eurovision business, a guy who you probably know already, the host of the Eurovision Legends podcast, Emil Lifström. Welcome to the programme.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're really excited to speak to you, not just about Melfest, but we also want to hear about your podcast as well, which I'm sure quite a few people will know already. But for anyone who might not know, tell us about Eurovision Legends.
Well, Eurovision Legends, I started the podcast when Eurovision got cancelled in 2020. I decided I need to do something with my time because we couldn't meet any friends. We didn't have anything to do. I just came up with the idea, why not call these artists, hosts, producers, whatever, and get to know what happened behind the scenes. Yeah, I had so many questions and I wanted to ask. And so I just started. And after, I think after 3 episodes, it became quite big and viral. And artists mailed me instead of me mailing them.
So it's a good position to be in when that starts happening, isn't it? And one such legend, of course, with the Eurovision legends that you've been speaking to, is Loreen. And this fits in really well because, of course, Loreen back for Melfest this year. What did she have to say about why she's making a return?
She said that she wasn't there to compete, which is bullshit.
why is she there then? Why is she in a competition?
She hates competitions, especially music competitions, but she has a winning song this year, and I think that she's only back because she wants to win Eurovision again.
That's it. So I was going to say, take us through a bit, because you've been reporting on all things Melfest as well, and you know the songs. So come on, who do you think is going to win it? It's Loreen, do you think, again?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the biggest opponent is Maria Sur, from the girl from Ukraine, because people have taken her to the hearts. Sadly, I think we have already sent that kind of song, because Tusse did A Million Voices 2 years ago. And I don't say it's the same song, but it sounded in the same genre, and it's boring. I've heard the songs from semifinal 3. I haven't heard all the songs from semifinal 4. But I think if not Loreen will win, I think that Marcus and Martinez have a big chance, and Maria Sur. Yeah, I think it's between those three.
Melfest is, I mean, this is a kind of silly statement here, but I'm going to say anyway, Melfest is massive. And I'm wondering that as a Swede, of course, as somebody who's grown up with Melody Festival and kind of knows it as this big thing, are you surprised at how the whole Eurovision world seems to kind of coalesce around this one national selection final?
Both yes and no. I'm not surprised that we got so much attention in the beginning of 2000, because take Melody Festival in 2004, for example, or 2005, 2006. I think that there were so good songs. We were alone with this kind of semifinals and with this kind of big show. Nowadays, so many other countries have stepped up.
Yeah, yeah.
And for example, Norway had a fabulous national final this year. I think actually nearly better than the Swedish one. We are a small country, but we have so many great composers and artists. We have a Swedish podcast called Schlagervännerna, and we did a rejected series of songs that has been submitted to Melodifestivalen during the years. And I mean, the quality of the songs were so good. Many of those songs later went to other countries.
Now, one thing we were told about some time ago when we spoke to another Swedish person about the kind of the how much Swedes get into Melodifestivalen was that apparently there's a snack that you all eat during about it. And I was heard, is it cheese doodles? Is that right? Is that a thing?
Absolutely. I love cheese doodles.
Cress has been going on the cheese doodles this whole time, and she's loving them, so she's well in. So you'd recommend a cheese doodle then as people watch Melodifestivalen?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the funny thing is that my boyfriend is from Manchester, and he never had eaten cheese doodles before meeting me, and he loved them as well.
Well, because they're watsits, that's why they taste like watsits. I think. I mean, I've not had a cheese doodle.
Yeah, you've got to try them, Martin.
Thank you so much, Emil. It's been brilliant getting the kind of the insight into Melody Festival and all the conversations that you've been having with these legends, particularly Loreen. How do people find you and get to hear those episodes?
We are on all platforms, Eurovision Legends, and you can also hear them all on eurovisionlegends.se. We have 148 episodes to catch up with, so yeah.
Lots to catch up on then. Excellent. Final question, really. Are you going to be going to Liverpool this year?
Absolutely. And you know what? I need to brag about this because of my podcast, Eurovision Legends, I got a record deal this summer.
Oh!
And I'm booked for performing in Liverpool with my new single, Going to the Mecca.
Amazing. Well, we'll have to check you out. That's fantastic. Martin, where's our record deal?
I think it's in the post.
I told you about this rejected song from Melody Festivalen. I've actually recorded two of them. But we will not send them to Melody Festivalen. I will release them instead, because I have no interest in competing in Melody Festivalen. But
yet.
Yeah.
You're sounding a bit like Loreen there, Emil, saying you've no interest in competing.
Yeah, you never know, you never know.
Right, Martin, I'm going to have a bit more of these cheese doodles. I couldn't have them during a meal. I thought that would be a bit rude, actually. But let's have a few more.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's, what are you doing? She's absolutely stuffing them in. She grabbed the biggest handful ever, and in they all went.
Oh, you know what? They do have, there's like a sort of an addictive quality to them.
I bet.
And this is quite a big bag, but I think this is going to go quite quickly.
I think it might as well. Okay, we need to distract you. Let's talk about some of today's news. Basically, Cress, it's just like all of the songs have just arrived.
Yes.
You wait for a little while and you get nothing. And then all of a sudden, every single song in the whole world seems to have turned up on our doorstep.
Yes, I think it's funny. It's just as we decided to do this fortnightly rather than weekly as well. And then as if to punish us, they had Super Saturday, where there was so many national selection finals and then quite a few other national selection finals the week before. So yeah, basically in this little segment, we're just going to go through the tracks that we now know. And we nearly, I think now, know most of the Eurovision songs, which is quite exciting. So let's start with Norway. Emil was talking about Norway's Melody Grand Prix. So let's listen to this one. This is by Alessandra and this song is called Queen of Kings.
Oh, now I like this. I like it.
I do.
It's kind of like, Alessandra is, I mean, how would you describe her outfit? Because that is kind of, that is 50% of it really, because it's so kind of powerful and dramatic, this outfit that she's wearing, combined with that song, which kind of sounds like a very scary nursery rhyme. Exactly. Yeah.
I think it's very girl boss. Mm. It's very kind of, she reminds me a little bit of kind of Malta, Destiny.
Yeah. Bit of Xena Warrior Princess in there, I wonder.
Yeah,
a bit of kind
definitely.
Of Wild Dances, Ruslana maybe, kind of in the outfit
as well.
And the kind of
that, I like it.
Yeah. Who else have you been having your eye on?
Right, next we had Benidorm Fest, Spain's national final, and they've chosen their act. This is Blanca Paloma, and unfortunately, I'm going to be rubbish at pronouncing this. Sorry, but EAE.
Okay, well, this is quite weird, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's kind of a bit sort of in that sort of theme of traditional flamenco. And I actually really like this. I think it's got a bit of spark, a bit of pizzazz. I think it could be staged really amazingly. And I think she's got some great style. I think the harmonies work well together. It could go one or two ways. I think people could be like, oh, and I think some people have reacted to this, like, oh, God, that sort of shrill sort of noise and be a bit turned off by it, or be like, oh, this is kind of cool, sort of traditional culture, and be really into it. So I think it might split people.
There's certainly a kind of Eastern flavour to it, isn't there? Which often
I like it.
Goes down well at Eurovision, kind of sounds quite nice. Okay, anybody else caught your eye there?
Yeah. Oh, there's many more, Martin. We've next got Slovenia, and this is, the band is called Joker Out, and the song's Carpe Diem.
Oh, this is great. They kind of got the band
like
set up. It looks a bit like the guy from High School Musical.
He does a little bit.
Is it Troy?
Yes.
Is it Troy?
Well, that's the name of the character.
Yeah, it looks like Troy from High School Musical. Looks a bit like Zac Efron.
Yeah.
Circa kind of early noughties. But this is great. This is going to go down so well in Liverpool. Everyone's going to be dancing to this.
I think so. It is your kind of typical cheeky sort of indie boy bands, which I think, you know, the UK could definitely relate to. I think they're kind of doing a little bit of Måneskin with the sort of trousers and stuff and looking a bit kind of cool. But then I think the chorus is really fun. Yeah, I can definitely see this. It's doing really well.
Czechia next. And should we have a listen to this? This is My Sister's Crown by Vesna. I wondered how long we'd take to get into a little bit of rap, and there it is, as part of that one. And I think it's worth talking about what Vesna looked like, because I think that is going to be a big part of what is delivered on the Eurovision stage.
Yeah.
Almost like dolls' makeup on their faces.
Yes.
Period-like costumes, I guess you would say, and then this really kind of gritty song.
Yes, and I guess that maybe the kind of, like you said, sort of Regency kind of dresses, like to do with the fact it's called My Sister's Crown. And they have gone into a lot of effort in the video. I think this is like the official music video we were having a look at there. I think it's a gritty song, but it's catchy and it feels very modern. It's I don't think this would be out of place in the charts somewhere. It's got a real sort of edge to it. I don't know, it's again got that kind of sassy female thing which we've been talking about, which has been a running theme now for quite a few Eurovisions. Will it get a bit lost? I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure with this one. It is catchy though.
Very catchy. All right, Latvia next.
So that was Sudden Lights with Aya. I think it's pronounced Latvia's entry. Bit of a weird one, this, I thought. A bit of a weird mix, because it starts off with a kind of sort of synth drum machine element, and then it goes into kind of full-blown guitars, and then it's an acoustic guitar at the end, and it's a bit of a weird mix of sort of tone, and I don't know if I quite like it.
Can I just say, kind of regardless of what the song sounds like, I just love Latvia. Whenever they come to Eurovision, they come with such positive energy, and we got that last year. We've had it many years in the past before. I just think it's such a, and they could do anything, and I just think, oh, Latvia, aren't they nice?
Are you angling for a trip to Latvia, Martin? Is that what you're saying?
I'd love a trip to Latvia. That would be so exciting. Moving on to a country that very often brings the goods for Eurovision, Malta. Do you want to dance? Do you want to dance? Do you want to dance? I love the fact that this has got a big sax in it.
But what do you think about the actual song? I'm not a big fan, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
I don't know if it was just that. I mean, we're only judging it obviously off the national final performance, but his range was a bit weak. And I don't know, the actual song isn't great. I think they're fooling you with that sax, Martin.
Yeah, they're luring you in with the sax. So you go, hey, this song must be good because it's got a sax in it. And then when you're thinking of Epic Sax Guy. I am thinking of Epic Sax Guy. Well, maybe Malta not quite bringing the goods. It's called Dance Our Own Party by The Busker. And maybe they will put be at their own party because no one's going to invite them. No! That's a horrible thing to say. Okay. That is Malta. This is Denmark. If we could get back in the sky, every storm be falling apart. I'm not scared to love you, but I'm scared of breaking my heart. If we could get back in the sky, every storm be falling apart. I'm not scared to love you, but I'm scared of breaking my heart. Now I remember I used to tell you. This is so catchy. This will definitely be in my head without a doubt.
It is, and I think, you know, it's funny, it reminds me of the UK band, the 1975.
Yeah.
I think it's got that similar.
Oh, there's something of that. Yeah, this is Riley, and it's called Breaking My Heart.
It's got that kind of syncopated guitar riffs in the back, and the voice is a little bit similar, and it's got that kind of sort of sensitive sort of guitar indie side to it. I agree. I like this one. It's a kind of different take from them, and it's nice to see. Also, it feels a bit different in the rest of the show, which is good. It's not nice to have things that are all too a bit samey. So it's nice to have something that feels kind of fresh and interesting.
Over to Estonia now, where Alika is performing next to a piano that plays itself. There is always time to get back on track, tearing down the walls slowly every step. Now I see myself building up a world of bridges.
So yeah, There you go. That was Bridges, Alika for Estonia. It takes a little while to get going, that one, doesn't it? It takes a little bit of time, but I kind of like the build-up. As you say, it starts, she's next to a piano that plays itself. That can't be allowed, surely. She then does play the piano for a bit, but we've got a question. Is she playing it?
Well, if she is, what's the point? Plays itself. Doesn't need to bother.
Why are you doing it, Alika? You don't need to. It plays itself.
Yeah. No one needs to be there. It's a really emotive song. She delivers a great performance with it.
Yes.
Sometimes I wonder with the ballads whether they cut through, but I just wonder whether that's me slightly biased against ballads because they always take a little while to grow on me and to really capture me in.
I also feel like this year we haven't got too many straight ballads. There's a couple, but doesn't feel like we're overloaded with them, so it might feel a bit freer in that respect, but we'll see. But one thing that certainly isn't a ballad is this next one, and this is Croatia. Mama kupila traktora. Mama kupila traktora. Can't wait to see your reaction to this, Martin. Trajna nina parmagetonona. So,
yes, it was only a matter of time, wasn't it, before?
So that was, of course, Let Three with Mama Stop, which is, I think, how you pronounce that. Martin, do you want to just describe what you see from the national final performance? Because I think that's a big part of this.
Did you ever study the First World War in history at school? And did they ever show you those posters where it was like, Kitchener wants you, and it was for people to enlist in the army?
Yeah.
And there was a picture, an image of this kind of First World War soldier with a great big moustache and a kind of army hat on. Yeah. Imagine that, but in the style of Freddie Mercury.
Yes!
And then about six of them, all on the stage, all in slightly different military style, very flamboyant uniforms.
Painted.
Very kind of, painted, very thick makeup as well. All the moustaches are false.
Yeah.
And you've got this. I mean, there's always one, and here it is.
Oh my God, it's this year's Moldova, and it's even crazier. This, again, could go one of either two ways, I think. People will either be like, what is this rubbish? Or people might embrace the craziness and be like, yes, we love it. Absolutely nuts. I'm kind of on the side that I love it at the moment. This is what we need a bit of in Eurovision.
Two more then, and here's the penultimate one we're going to be talking about on the podcast. Romania, and this is Theodor Andre, and it's called DGT Off and On. Yeah, okay. And you might be listening to that and you might be thinking, yeah, okay, well, it's an all right song. You kind of need to see it as well, don't you, really?
Yeah.
I found it quite difficult to focus on Theodore himself.
Did you?
Really, for a bit of that, for some reason. If you watch it, you might understand why.
Interesting staging, I have to say. He's done the Eurovision classic of the costume reveal, where they rip off a bit of the costume to reveal another part of the costume. It's a lot of kind of sexy ladies and him dancing around them.
Oh, I didn't notice those.
You didn't notice that,
No, I didn't see the sexy ladies there.
You were looking at the costume reveal,
were you? I was, yeah. I'll have to watch that again to see them.
I think without the all of this like sort of stuff around it, the song itself isn't that exciting at all. I think it might get lost a bit, but who knows? Maybe the sexy ladies might help it a little bit. There's a thought.
Imagine that. Finally then, here's Italy. Se questa è l'ultima canzone, poi la luna esploderà. Sarò lì a dirti che sbagli, ti sbagli, lo sai, qui non arriva la musica.
So this reminds me actually quite a lot of Italy in 2022, with where we had Mahmoud and Blanco with Brividi. It's a beautiful Italian song, a kind of ballad, sung in Italian. And can I put about, actually. Just even just hearing these, all these ones here, all these entrants, how many are in kind of their own language? There's not that many in English.
You're right. I was just I was thinking that. I think a surprising number. And I'm all for that.
Same.
I think it's great to feature the many, many languages of Europe. And I think that some of them are so beautiful and great to hear. And that's what Italy have done, singing in Italian. A really, really nice song. Maybe you're right, it is slightly going down the same road as last year, but didn't quite
do too badly for them.
No, it didn't. So, wow, some great entries.
I think
some of them are mad and bonkers, but some of them are... that's great as well. And I just think, yeah, really showing. I think it's going to be a really good Eurovision this year. And it makes me very, very excited about it.
Right now, you thought we'd forgotten about this feature, but don't you worry, it is back. That's right, it's time for this.
Flap. Well, flappity, flappity, flap. Well, flappity, flappity, flap. Well, flappity, flappity, flap that Eurobop.
Yes, that's right. Flop That Eurobop is back. We haven't forgot about it. And thank you so much to the lovely Luke, who has actually sent us one in. We mentioned this at the end of the last show, and we didn't have time to get through it. So we did want to feature it this time. So if you don't remember, this is the feature on the show where we or one of our listeners sings a Eurovision song badly. It's got to be badly. And we try and guess what that song is that they're singing. So Luke has sent us one in. And shall we have a listen to it, Martin?
Okay, go ahead, Luke.
Mama, 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 mama.
Do you know what? I actually know what this is.
Now
I know it. I've got it.
You might know it. I recognise it.
Yeah. I've got it. I know what it is.
Oh, no, I've got it first. You know it and I know it. Okay, well, hold on. I'm going to get a piece of paper.
Shall we just say it at the same time?
All right. That's a good idea.
We'll say the act and then the title. So ridiculous.
Okay, hold on. Here it is one more time.
Mama, 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 mama. Ma, 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 ma.
Look how excited we are.
Okay. 3, 2, okay. 1. Scooch!
Flying the flag! Luke says, yes, UK 2007 Fly the Flag Scooch. He says, our little anecdote to go with it, we went to a holiday park a few times where they used this song as a kid's party dance. One of the moves was called Flick Your Bogies. It basically involved flicking your fingers at head height during the ba 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 da bit. I bloody love that song. It's a bit of a guilty pleasure of mine. It's one I would actually dance to and sing along to because it's great fun, and it didn't do very well for us at the time, but I really like it.
And yeah, and perhaps rightfully so. But anyway, there we go.
Thank you, Luke.
That was a great addition. Thank you so much, Luke, for that addition of
Flap That Eurobop.
Great stuff. Well, we've had such a busy show. I mean, the thing is, we are doing this a little bit less frequently now, so that is how it will work. It will be a bit longer. But thank you again to our Patreons who have subscribed to us. You are going to get extra content. We just need to work out the technology first. But if you do want to join us, it's literally £1 a month, and it's patreon.com/nullpoir. We'll be trying to put up more kind of sudden reactions to stuff, because obviously this is just a fortnightly thing now, but hopefully a nicer format. Thank you to Jem, one of our patrons, by the way, who sent this in saying, what did you think of Super Saturday? And Jem goes on to say, I thought it was kind of problematic. He doesn't explain any more.
I can kind of
understand a bit what you mean by that, Jem, and says, if Slovenia is the same staging, I will be very confused.
You think what you like on that. If you want to get in touch, it would be lovely, lovely, lovely to hear from you. Thank you if you're a Patreon supporter. Our next episode is when?
Next episode's out the 5th of March, and I think think that one might have a bit of a Ukraine slant. We'll see. We'll see.
Thank you very much. Kresh, you get back to your cheesy what's-its.
Oh,
sorry,
I will.
Your what's it called again? Cheese
doodles.
Cheese doodles. Get back to your doodles. And we'll see you on the next episode of...
No! Nothing.